2020. According to my records in my computer, all the way back to September the 27th of 2018, I've been speaking to as many who are here and have opportunity to hear it about social justice. So nearly for 2 years, have been talking about how terrible this idea of social justice is. And no one has a crystal ball. No one knows, no man anyway knows. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us all that the secret things belong to the Lord, and the things that are revealed belong to us. So I have no idea what God's secret providence is any more than you do, any more than what He's revealed in His Word. But in light of everything that's happening, in light of everything that I do know about social justice movement from studying it, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, with more knowledge comes greater grief. So we have a saying that ignorance is bliss. I'm pretty sad inside. I don't know exactly how to communicate it, but I'm saddened in the way that Habakkuk was saddened, that he trembled on the inside because he knew judgment was coming. And with a very slender view of history, we can think that the United States is an eternal kingdom. It's only been here for 231 years. The world has been here for at least 6,000, you know, approximately. So that's a very small slice. Slavery has been a part of human society from the time of Cain onward. Definitely from the time of Noah's three sons onward. Sin is just that way, that freedom has a very hard time rearing its head in this world because of sin. You happen to be in the United States of America by God's special privilege and providence to you. You're here, you're born here. When our founding fathers, 231 years ago, set forth the principles of independence and what's known as the Declaration of Independence, they had to weigh out to address the issue of slavery then, or wait till later. And they chose that the union was a higher priority than dealing with the slavery issue then. And as time went on, it sort of proves that they were right to start there. You say, well, why not both? The answer is because men are wicked. You can't do both. That's why later we had a civil war. So there never would have been a United States had they tried to do both. It would have split from the beginning. So they valued the Union over it, and they wrote into the Declaration truths that they hoped over time, if ingested and believed and lived, would overthrow slavery. Truths like all men are created equal, and the implication of that truth, that every man, being thus created equal, has particular unalienable, to quote it accurately, rights. And one of them's liberty. Now, how can you say all men have a right, a divine right, to liberty without eventually overthrowing slavery? The Constitution was written by James Madison, and there's two books, if you ever want to read them, if you ever want to quit watching what those elite who are in power feed in your head through Netflix, through the small keyhole they give you to view the world. It's about the worst thing in the world today. We think we can know history by watching Netflix. If it were that easy, we wouldn't have historians. But these are called the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. And there's a quote in there by Madison that explains why he wrote the Constitution the way he did it. He wrote it, but others were there. If men were angels, there would be no need for a government. And if the government were run by angels, there would be no need for laws to govern them. The reason they set forth a constitution based on the rule of law, a Latin phrase called lex rex, the law is king. Not a man, not a person, not me, not you. And so we're all equally under the law, all equal before the law. Again, how the 13th Amendment got passed. So their wisdom was vindicated. The thing to see on a global scale, it is difficult to get rid of slavery. It took the death of over 600,000 lives in the Civil War to get rid of slavery. Why? Because it's so profitable. That's the reason why. And men do not easily give up what is profitable for them. So, the idea that that the defining attribute of the United States of America is slavery is in every sense of the term false. There are no societies in history that did not have slavery. So, it's like having 100 black markers and picking up one and saying the thing that makes you distinct is you're black. Every society had slavery. But the one thing the United States did have was liberty. That's not something every country had or has. And why do they have it? You see, you look at one side of history, that there was slavery. Yes, but there was this other thing that eventually got rid of it. Where did that come from? The Declaration refers to nature's God. The Declaration appeals to divine providence at the end of it. The Declaration is not a document of evolution. It's not all men evolved equally, created equally. If you were to take the time and look up the state constitutions of various states in the United States, you won't find this on your Netflix documentary. You got to look it up. God is mentioned and creation is mentioned all through the thing. Where does this come from? Christianity. It's Christianity that spreads the idea in the world that all men are equal. And then a second idea that not only are all men created equally, all men are justified equally, all men are condemned equally. I mean, it is full of equality truths. And so the Reformation in the 1500s changed Europe. Not all of them. France, some of them. I mean, Italy, some didn't want to go with it because of the entrenchment of Roman Catholicism. But it changed the world. There begun to be this value called liberty. You don't get liberty without belief in the image of God. You don't get it without belief in justification by faith. And you don't get it without belief in human depravity, which is the whole reason we need to be justified by faith, even though we've been created in the image of God. So the men who wrote the Constitution did not believe they or anyone else were angels. And so the way our government is supposed to work is it is opposed to direct democracy, where the mob rules. You need only turn in your Bible to the entrance of the Lord into Jerusalem at the end of one of the Gospels, pick Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, one of them. And the same crowd that praised him on one day said Hosanna one day, said crucify the next. Go into the book of Acts and you see what mob rule does. But on the other hand, nor do you want a Pharaoh, a dictator. So you have the rule of law in between and everybody's under it. The very first line of a document known as the Communist Manifesto says this: the history of all existing societies hitherto is the history of class struggles. No matter how you slice the pie, if you view the world as predominantly consisting of groups of struggle, you're a Marxist. Maybe not as purposely as Marx was, you are definitely influenced by him. What's so bad about that? Wherever belief in depravity ends, trajectory toward tyranny begins. Karl Marx did not believe in human depravity. He was an atheist. Plenty of people today don't believe in human depravity. Perhaps you're one of them. And you need to know, I need you to know, that history, one historian has said this, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. Think of a song playing the same tune, just in a little bit different key the next time, a little bit different key the next time, a little bit different tone the next time, but you can see the similarity. You can recognize this is the same pattern. You can play the same song on a guitar with a flute. You can hum it. You play the same song in a different way. And some people think that you kind of get ahead of history and you learn from past history by looking for the exact same thing to repeat itself. That's not how it works. It's always a little bit different tune, but you can see the similarities. The basis of dividing the world up, dividing the human race into various groups of oppressed and oppressor, is the belief that man is morally, essentially good, and there is something outside that is evil. From that is produced the belief that what is needed is change to the stuff on the outside, not the stuff on the inside. From that is the pursuit is begun of activism. Activism. Change. Educate yourself. There's nothing wrong with you, just uneducated. And so the idea is if you get educated, if you get aware, if you spread awareness, then what? Then what? A utopia. You thought Zootopia was named that for no reason. Not a utopia. There are people in our society right now trying to tear it apart because they believe that's possible. The entire assumption of social justice is to believe that it's at least possible to succeed at it. And that it's possible to rectify every wrong, every perceived wrong. And if we just are active and we go on marches and we protest and we elect the right people and we do the right things, there will be equality, there will be justice. We do not realize how old that is. That is Cain's attempt to build the city of Cain. That is the Tower of Babel. It is a secular eschatology. It is a secular form of the new heavens and the new earth. Well, what did Marx accomplish, this 1800 thinker? What did he accomplish? Well, he accomplished communism in Russia, which also aided Nazism in Germany. And communism in China, and communism in Korea, and communism in Vietnam, and communism in Venezuela, and communism in Cuba. How many of you know that Stalin killed far more people than Hitler did? Far more people than Hitler did. He didn't have the same ideology of Hitler. He had the ideology that man is good, he's been done wrong, he needs social justice. And guess what? When you get the oppressed, a member of the oppressed, the members of the oppressed class in place, then they know, because they're woke, how to apply justice. And that is when absolute power is in the hands of a few, you find out the depravity that you denied down here shows up here. But guess what? It's too late. Because you gave away your liberty. Because you spread the ideology that man is good and he's been done wrong. That's how you do it. Make no mistake about it. I'm talking about an idea that if you help to spread will result in death. Perhaps even the death of your family, your children, and people you know. It's upon us. I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball. I have no idea. But you need to understand societies under this type of ideology at this level with this much pressure being applied can fall like that. And it doesn't matter if you're carrying. Because you're not caring enough. And then all the police that you've abused, who have finally decided to stop being police because it's counterproductive, where are they going to be? When someone just grabs you and starts beating you. Good luck. Good luck. I don't want to live in that society, but perhaps the Lord is bringing us there. I don't know. I can tell you with a clear conscience, He might be judging the United States of America. Might be. It might be Habakkuk situation. It might be where you just have to say, though everything is torn up, I will hope in the Lord and rejoice in Him. But I don't want to see that. You cannot, even though I'm sitting here saying this, like if you've not been studying it and looking at it and reading about it, you can't understand, and nor can I, without reading about it, that this is really what it comes from. You say, all that death comes from this? Yes. Yes. What does woke mean? What does woke mean? Truth you have come to believe in without logical argument. Truth you have come to believe in without objective proof, without evidence, without facts. You just get it. That's how you get it. You just get it. And the way it works is a human being, now remember, they're not fallen. None of us are evil. None of us could tell a lie. We're all good. And it's just society that's done us wrong. Okay? A human being starts telling you 100,000 times that they're oppressed. And because you won't believe their self-report, they may believe they're oppressed. They may truly believe they're oppressed. But the fact that you believe you're oppressed subjectively does not mean you actually are oppressed objectively. Otherwise, why do we have psych wards? If a guy believes he's Jesus Christ, then why you put him in the hospital? Let him run around and believe he's Jesus Christ. Because we know there's such a thing as your subjectivity being wrong. But you live in a culture where feelings are God. Your feelings are God. Your feelings are the source of truth. In other words, it doesn't matter what I say up here tonight. What matters is how did you feel about what I said tonight? If it made you feel positive, then it was a true message. If it made you feel negative, then it was a false message. There's not the idea that perhaps my feelings could be wrong. So let me give an example. Who do you know? Who does anybody know? Anyone point out to me racist activity that is taking place in our community? So I can go with you and go rebuke the racist. Who? Where? Where did you see it today? Did you see a water fountain where it was said, colored people are not allowed here? If you did, let me know. You saw a Christian, let's go. Let's go. Let's go talk to them. The biggest irony is the term conspiracy theory has been thrown around. Conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory. The biggest conspiracy theory in America today is that black people are oppressed. And I say that knowing full well that there is about 99% of our population who would accuse me of being in the KKK just to say it because I'm white. And that right there is the wokeness, that because I'm white, I can't know truth. You can only know truth. Truth is dependent on your group. Something called standpoint epistemology. So you know what you know from your angle, and that's your truth, and I know what I... Well, I'm sorry. 2 plus 2 is 4, no matter the melanin in your skin. And it doesn't matter how you feel about 2 plus 2. It's 4. Another thing. Every time slavery gets brought up, the timeline rewinds backwards and it stops with Jim Crow laws. Well, or it goes back maybe to 1619, because that's when it began. Let me ask you this. Who sold those slaves to Europeans who brought them over here? African slave traders. Again, there's no society that did not at one time have slavery. So how can you condemn one marker for being a black marker in a tub full of 100 black markers? Well, what about the blacks in Africa who owned blacks in Africa prior to 1619? But we're not interested in that history. And all we're interested in is you're white, your ancestors lorded it over other ancestors. There are people in America today getting on their knees, bowing down, and begging black people for forgiveness. That's happening in mass amounts. I just watched a video on the way here of hundreds of people in unison repeating a mantra. About sins they never committed. They as an individual never owned anybody, never been racist in their life, repenting of racism. Now you tell me why the very same black people are not repenting of racism, since they also have ancestors who practiced it. Slavery. And furthermore, if the issue is, if you have an ancestor who oppressed somebody in my, you know, melanin group, then you need to repent. Is their ancestor not Adam? Did he not sin and damn us all? You see, so it just becomes arbitrary where you drop the line. And you stir up, constantly stir up. Thomas Sowell has said that racism is nearly dead in America. He's a black man, an economist, / historian. It is nearly dead, if not for the people who constantly keep it alive. Spreading the idea that you're good, you've been done wrong, you need justice. You know the worst part about it? The reason it is suffices to speak about it tonight. The reason it is proper for a minister of the gospel to speak about it. Not just of love to men and societies, that this leads to totalitarian depravity of which you cannot even dream of. To warn you of it, to tell you to spread the contrary ideas that protects society from it. The true reason it matters, someone has said, if you hold a penny up close enough to your eye, it can hide a star that is gargantuan in size. If you hold it up close enough to your eye. And if you think about the fact that you're good and you've been done wrong and you need justice over and over and over and over, hour after hour after hour after hour on social media, there is one thing that you will never be able to do and you will perish without doing it forever, is confess your sins and beat your breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Because you've been told over and over and over and over and over by people who are Christians that you are good, you've been done wrong, and you need justice. And you've got it so close to your soul that you cannot even see the gospel. That there are none good. Not even one. There are no good black people. There are no good white people. There are no good Asian people. There are no good children. There are no good adults. There are no good sick people. There are no good healthy people. There are no good females. There are no good males. Morally speaking, they're all incredibly valuable, metaphysically speaking, made in the image of God. That's why Jesus compares them to sheep and coins and sons when he goes after them. And all of you here are sheep and coins and sons and daughters. And that's why I'm even here. And I'm one as well. But morally speaking, you're a sinner. And you are evil. And you have something that has laid hold of you that can destroy every relationship in your life. It can destroy your relationships in church. It can destroy the relationship in your marriage, your friendships. It can destroy the relationships with your siblings, with your coworkers. One of the most grievous, let me give you an example of it. Perhaps the most grievous thing I've ever seen as a pastor is someone who actually has suffered a death of a child or a sickness, a chronic sickness of a child. And they're under this weight all the time, struggling with their view of God. How can God be good if He ordains this? That person must recover a sight and a sense of the fact that God is good and they are evil, or they will never repent. Nobody runs into the lap of an evil God. 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes. Hebrews 11. Them that come to God must not only believe He exists, but that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. People who believe He's a hard, exacting man never go to Him. Why would I go to Him? Right? He put me in this mess. He did it. He needs to repent. People don't come out and say it, but that's it. You're either going to believe that you're good and God is wicked, or God is good and you are wicked. You're going to go through life and you're going to be victimized. I hate to tell it to you. You live in a world of sinful, wicked world. You'll be lied to. You'll be cheated on. You'll be stolen from. Harsh words will be said to you. People will tear you down. People are going to victimize you. But guess what? You are going to victimize other people. And you're going to tear people's souls apart with your sin. What do both those truths mean? There's not a person on this planet who is not both a victim of someone else's sin and a victimizer with their own sin. And if all you focus on is the one and not the other, you'll never repent. You'll never believe. You'll never come to God, because the full thought that is in you can't see the other thing. You got to hold it away enough to see both. The penny is just here. You can't see, I'm black, I've been done wrong, or I'm female, and I've been done wrong, or I'm gay, and I've been done wrong. And Christians think the answer is just to go out there and, well, yeah, I'm for equality and everybody's equal. That's not it. You must believe you deserve the everlasting judgment of God, or you will never come to Christ. That's why this is a gospel issue. So if I'm sitting beside someone, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even those of us in this church, there's no need in implying anything. We're aware of the sufferings just that have taken place in our lifetimes in this church, across the board, whatever they might be. If any of us are true friends at all, yes, we must come alongside each other and weep and break our own hearts with each other. But I must not let you cave in that. I must weep with you and pull you out and say, you have got to somehow still see your sin and your need for Christ. You cannot allow this to swallow you up and make you feel like only a victim. You cannot have the penny all the way to your face, or you will not see the gospel. And that's what we have with this. The worst gospel thing you could do is continually remind sinners that they're victims, they've been done wrong, and they need justice. Does it mean you should never do it? But it has got to be tempered. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, there's forgiveness. Con is with, and fess is to say with, to agree with, to say what God says about your sin. Anyone that says what God says about their sin is not viewing themselves as a total victim. Prodigal son. What did he say? I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. What did Joseph say when he was tempted? How can I do this thing and sin against God? What did David say after Uriah and Bathsheba? Against you, and you only, I have sinned and done what was an error. No, what was evil. What was evil. I've done what was evil. That's what causes someone to say, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? There's evil in me. Though I've been made for this great and glorious purpose, I'm down here in the mud. What is wrong with me? I would even beg you, for the rest of your life, as your children grow up, as you, if I died and this was the last sermon I ever preached, I beg you, have a place for telling someone that they're wicked. Whatever else you say, you must still have room to say that. Or you have made sure they will never have eternal life. Every person at every protest is going to give you the gospel and stop. I could go on a lot. I don't know how many sermons we have on sermon audio on this. If you feel like you don't understand this, start listening to them. Go through them again. Pick one. Scroll through one. Find one that this belief that man is not wicked, that every man is not wicked, but rather he's good and he's been done wrong and he needs justice. It will ruin this whole country. It is cancer. It is toxic. It is a beast. It devours. It ruins. It's threatening to ruin us even now as we speak. And it will ruin eternity. I hope you will, your ears will hear many things in life. I hope you will allow yourself to hear that you're a sinner. God made you to glorify Him. And pretty much you've not even been thinking about Him today. In your past, if you're a Christian, you pretty much didn't even think about Him. This is all His world. This is all Imagine going into someone's house and never saying a word to them. You use their forks, their spoons, their bathtub. You roll around all their stuff and totally ignore them. If someone did that in your house, you'd be outraged that you have not the care for people doing it every single day to the Lord. You breathe in His breath. He's keeping your heart beating. He's pumping blood throughout your system. You have millions of involuntary capillaries just keeping you alive right now by His glorious mercy and grace. And if you allow yourself to see that He's really the Creator and you've really sinned against Him, then you're opened up to see something far more glorious and beautiful. And I will confess to you, it is something hard to comprehend in these days. But I will challenge you to think of the most horrendous videos you have seen. I know many of you have seen some. Think of those people abusing that poor lady in the wheelchair. Think of crimes across the board, on the blacks, on whites, everything, every manner of crime has happened in the last 2 weeks. Think of the people who beat that man in Dallas until he was folded up and left for dead. The complete defilement of the image of God. And do you know what the Apostle John would say of those people who gathered around that man and did that? That God loved them so much. He loved those people so much. I don't even know what it means to be human, but it must mean something incredible. There are things that I have that if I lost them and they fell into the water and I'll just let them go. And there are things that I have that are so valuable I'll go after them. Don't let Reformed theology steal that. It's the sin that's evil. The metaphysical you is... No one knows the value of it. That's why Jesus said, you're so valuable, actually, if you gained the world and lost you, it would be a bad business deal. Think about that. Every human in this building is worth more than the cosmos. Every child in here, every adult in here. And so, God loved those people so much. He sent His Son. He lived the life we didn't live. And who has a right? Fine. You want to say, only the oppressed can speak. Who has been done more unjustly than Jesus Christ? Peter says he never sinned. He never reviled. He never sinned. Actually, the opposite. Peter says he went about doing good, healing little children, helping people, raising people from the dead. And he was crucified and mocked, spit on, and stapled with really big staples to a stick. and suspended in the air. Naked. Everyone to stare at him. So if we want to go that route, that the oppressed are the voices that we need to listen to and need to be heard. And the voice that needs to be heard, that we need to listen to, is the voice of the Son of God. And He says, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And that after He died, He was buried. And after He was buried, He came alive again. But in a new way. The resurrected body. Not as a spirit, as a body and spirit together. And after being seen by many different witnesses, He ascended to heaven and He runs the universe. Today He runs the universe. He determines your life. He determines when you live, when you die, how long you live, who you marry, how many children you have. The color of the irises in your eyeball, He determines it all. And He's just for 2,000 years been sending people into the vineyard saying, will you be reconciled to me? So I ask you again tonight, will you be reconciled to your Creator by putting your faith in His Son? Abraham sent a servant to go get a wife for his son. And it's been said, rightly said, that by a man who was a good preacher. Brother Kevin Williams. That's what preaching is. You go into the highways and you're looking for a bride for Christ. And that's what you're saying. Will you come? You asked Rebecca, will she come? Yes or no? That I may give an answer to Him who sent me. And so I ask. Tonight. Not Sunday, but Wednesday. Tonight. Will you marry Jesus Christ? Will you put your faith in Him, in other words? Will you trust Him to protect you from everything, from judgment, from everything in all of life? Will you put your faith in Him? Yes or no? There's no middle ground because He has asked you to marry Him. He asked you again tonight. You have to say yes or no. Are you really going to say no? Do you not like life? Do you not enjoy chips and hot dogs and grass and laughter and chuckles and movies? And he gave you that. Why will you run from Him? He gave you that. And even though you ruined the whole thing, He made it so that you could still come back to Him. Why? I just pray the Lord will help us. We can only do what we can do with a few little loaves that we have, the little church that we are. But then again, a long time ago, once upon a time, 12 did a lot. So please maintain the gospel. I hope I've encouraged you tonight to maintain, and seriously and solemnly encourage you tonight. I mean to maintain the gospel. Yes, be with people. Yes, feel sorry where you really need to feel sorry for people. But help people realize they have got to have a category for their guilt. It's the only way to see God as good. Because if you really are guilty, and He did that for you, He really is good. Very hard to sit down. I don't have anything else to do with my life until I die but talk about Jesus. It's all that thrills my soul and more than life to me. You heard Him by not believing in Him, because He really does love you. So please put your own faith in Him, and please help as many people as you can put their faith in Him. So thankful being able to come here tonight, speak about Christ. We don't plan to sing anything, do we? I'll let Corey. Corey, so I know he loves Christ. Close us in prayer. May God help us to love our Lord, to be more wise, more accurate, more helpful evangelists and ambassadors. With such a precious one life we've been given in time, every moment we've been given, every person we know. Amen.